From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fifth day of July 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Take a look at the genetically engineered labeling debate that's been happening in Washington, D.C., and the new law that's taking place in Vermont this month. And then we'll also discuss the weather forecast, that with Mark Russo today. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, our normal Monday afternoon forecaster, but Don Day's out of the office today. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished in Chicago. Corn futures down 9 cents at 344 in the July. December 9 lower at 358. July soybeans $11.17.51 and three quarters lower. November at 1077 and a quarter down 60 and a quarter. Bean oil off 21 cents. Bean meal down $19.40. Wheat futures up 3 and a quarter in the July. Soft red. The hard red up 7 and three quarters. Live cattle futures 67 and a half higher at 113.65. Feeder cattle at 144.30 up $1.85, and July lean hogs at $82 even, 67 and a half cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the first trading day for the week. We're joined now by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. What a rough start to the week, Wayne.
Yeah, it was. You know, we had 13 hours of rain on Sunday. Still only amounted to an inch of rain, but sure soaked in. The ground felt a lot wetter than as you walked across the yard. But and the funds basically felt that way, that a lot of times we see them after the 4th of July when we open back up, that they're either buyers or sellers. And they come with their selling shoes on and ready to go.
And they didn't take them off all day long. Beans were taking the heaviest losses. Why was that the case?
Well, I think that one of the things was the double crop bean areas that put a lot of beans in dry dirt, got some good rain. That was one of the things that did it. Meal was forced down the limit at one time, pulling stuff in. And basically, once it dropped as much as it did, sort of was self-fulfilling, like the way on the way up. And they hit technical points that kept pulling people on out. So, we kept the volume up all through the day in the beans.
And there are expectations for this to continue overnight?
Well, I think that basically down in the 1050 to 1070 area, we should see some decent support for at least right now. That's sort of the objectives a lot of them are looking at. We've got a lot of weather to go for the beans. It's not like, you know, the corn. There's a lot of areas now with the good rains over the weekend that they feel they can get through pollination period pretty good right now. But beans are more of a late July, August, September crop to finish. So until we can get at least probably another 3 to 4 weeks down the roadway, the beans might hang in there a little better.
I still suspect farmers called today and they were pretty worried.
That's an understatement. The phones rang off the wall. And yes, a lot of people concerned. You know, as we look at things here today, we closed 1077 in November beans. You take 30 cents off that, why we're still, 1040 or so on cash beans. Not a bad price considering we didn't think we were going to get $9 at the beginning of the season. But compared to what we could add just less than a week ago, why it does seem pretty depressing.
And what are you hearing from forecasters as far as it goes with the weather for the month of July?
Well, I think everybody has a little heat coming back in. I think that there's some showers forecast intermittently along the way. I think just as we had to have before, we're going to see some wet areas continue to get rain, and the areas that have been, missed over on most of these early rains, we're going to have some dry areas out there too. The rain doesn't want to generate as well, and I don't see any, good fronts like we saw move across the south last week just out there, but there are some pretty good chances of decent weather. I think, as we talk about this, it's going to be an idea, will we see a dead cat bounce in here somewhere, or will we see a retracement trade in here? And that's going to depend on what the weather forecasts say. So, a lot of the cycle traders are saying a cycle low was today. Whether we'll get a bounce out of it or just sort of stay sideways into the next cycle turn is going to be yet to be seen.
We'll wait and watch, which is what we usually do. Hey, thanks so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The price of old crop corn has plummeted from the year's high to a new contract low. It took less than a month, some rainfall in the Midwest, and a global economic scare to make that trip. The price of new crop corn has hit a new bottom, too. The seesaw market has farmers wearied and worried. University of Illinois agricultural economist Daryl Good thinks they should be. He writes in this week's Weekly Outlook series that prospects for another year of low corn prices and negative returns to corn producers has two implications. First, he says the producers will need to continue to look for new ways to reduce production costs. Secondly, Daryl Good thinks some reduction in world corn production may be required to move prices back to profitable levels. With prospects for increased acreage in Argentina and a rebound in yields in Argentina, Brazil, and South Africa in 2017, that reduction in the number of corn acres may fall to the United States next season. This is the way Daryl Good does the numbers to get to that point. We'll start with last week's USDA grain stocks report. It implies a surprisingly slow pace of feed use of corn in the third quarter of the marketing year.
That slow pace lowers the expectation for total consumption for the year and for next year, raising expectations for the magnitude of year-ending stocks by about 100 million bushels for this year and 200 million bushels for next year.
So more corn left in the bin this fall than expected, and once you put this year's crop, possibly a good one, on top of that, an even bigger surplus in the fall of 2017. Now let's play pile on. We'll start with ethanol. Usage is slowed, and because sorghum is cheap, it is being used to make some of the fuel rather than corn.
Sorghum use for ethanol production during the first 7 months of the marketing year is estimated at 107 million bushels, compared to only 17 million bushels in the same period last year. To reach the USDA projection of 5.25 billion bushels for the year, corn used for ethanol production during the last quarter will need to be about 50 million bushels more than used in the summer last year. If sorghum use remains high this summer, corn use could fall at least 50 million bushels below the USDA projection, adding an equal amount to the supply for the 2016 marketing year.
So, for this marketing year, 16-17, corn usage for ethanol, down 50 million bushels. Corn used for feed, down 100 million. Exports, up 25 million. And the season's average national cash price, $3.70. That's the number Daryl Good and Scott Irwin are now using for this year. They haven't released yet an updated number for the coming crop. USDA in June said $3.35. It'll update that figure next Tuesday in the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We're joined now by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Thanks, Mark, for being with us today. Let's start our discussion by taking a look back over the weekend. There were lots of calls for rainfall. Where did it come?
Well, specifically over the long holiday weekend, the main rain activity extended from southeastern Nebraska and Kansas eastward into the Ohio River Valley acreage. Basically, within that swath, we had totals in the range of anywhere from, you know, half to 1 inch on the lower side to above 2 to 3 inches on the higher side. Some of the heaviest totals were in portions of Kansas, central Missouri, southern Illinois, southern Indiana. Now, while the main rains there were in the southern half or so of the Midwest, we did see a lack of any significant rainfall across the northern half of the Midwest. And going into this long holiday weekend, actually, the southern part of the Midwest had been the driest, and with the rains, that certainly helped. It has not eradicated the dryness, but certainly has helped and improved what had been the driest areas.
So still running behind in some areas. As you look forward through this week, it appears there will be rainfall again.
Yeah, it does look like there will be opportunities for rainfall here through the balance of this week. Some of those rains will be in the areas back again across the northern belt. So those areas that did not have much rain over this long holiday weekend will have some chances for rain here this week. On into next week, we see a continuation of opportunities for rainfall. And really the reason behind this is that for the next couple weeks, opportunities for rainfall. In addition to that, a lack of extreme heat, that is due to the ridge of high pressure, which will be a feature across the southern part of the U.S., basically moving east or kind of sloshing back and forth, moving east and west across the southern parts of the Midwest, southern parts of the U.S., and not shifting northward into the Midwest, at least for the next 15 days.
That'll put us through the pollination period for the bulk of the Midwest. I made a trip from here to St. Louis over the weekend, all the way through to Springfield and then down 55, and lots of corn was tasseling. It won't be long, I suppose, until we get pollination started, and the temperatures and maybe the rainfall all sound like should be good for that part of the season.
Yeah, certainly here, Todd. Yeah, it's the timing here with there will be significant heat in the southern U.S., and including that is the Delta in the southeast. But for the Midwest, we see a lack of any kind of extreme heat, which, yeah, the timing of it, very timely here for the bulk of pollination that will be taking place over these next 2 weeks.
Nonetheless, we have about 30 seconds left, still running behind as a whole in the Corn Belt for precipitation?
Well, that certainly has improved over the past, or that deficit has improved over the past holiday weekend. And some of the driest areas of note of what we've seen recently, if you look at the past 30-day percent of normal, up in the far northwestern belt, in the Red River Valley, in the eastern Dakotas, western Minnesota, still less than 50% of normal over the past 30 days. There's a swath in areas of western and central Iowa extending into west central Illinois that's received less than 50% of normal. Even much of southern Michigan has received less than 50% of normal. So it's actually quite a bit of variability here, better off than what the Midwest was back a week ago, but still some areas in need of rain.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois.